Unscripted on Spin Now with Katie.
It is that time of the week where I introduce this week's special guest on Life Unscripted, a piece that I like to chat on every week, just normal people. And I'm so excited to introduce Chris Sherlock, an author and an anti-bullying campaigner, into studio. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Katie. Pleasure to be here.
Well, Chris, you have spoken to millions of people. You have went to schools, had these chats. You've been very open about your story and your experiences with bullying. What made you do this and take this path?
Well, through the love of radio, it all started, to be honest with you, because it was something that I had locked in my virtual man drawer in the back of my head, if that makes sense, because I never wanted to, you know, burden anyone with the story. It was something that happened to me and I didn't really want to talk about it anymore. It was history and that's where it should have stayed, in my opinion. But it was just one day I got asked by my station manager to do a mental health show. And I thought, ooh, this is something different, you know, because I'm open and honest to chat to everyone, anyone. I'm a big people person. But to look back to where I was, I never thought I'd be able to say that, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, through the mental health show, I got talking to people that were involved in a mental health book series and just people that were personal stories that suffered with mental health. And that all came together. And it was one day I just happened to bring up that I had suffered severe anxiety, depression, and basically recoiled myself from the whole world to the state that, with the effects of the effects that bullying had on things, you know, and that's where the mental health side kicked in. And I didn't realise how important that was to actually share until that radio show. And I brought it up and it just kind of drip-feeded into the conversation a little bit. And it was afterwards then, I was in that particular show, I had two people on from Book Club Publishing who were involved in the book series Mental Health for Millennials. And they said, we would like to chat to you more about your personal story, if you don't mind. And I said, yeah, of course. And told them the story over a cup of tea, to be honest with you, and they asked me would I be part of their book series straight away, and I was flabbergasted. I was shocked, you know. I can just about write my name, never mind being a book series. But yeah, they said, no, seriously, they said that if you're open to telling it, we'd be happy to have you. I declined it at first, believe it or not, because I just thought, no. But through lots of messages and phone calls and plenty more coffee, it was decided that, yeah, my arm was twisted, and yeah, I ended up a part of the book. And the first chapter went into volume 4 of Mental Health for Millennials, and it basically recapped the whole story on the bullying in school, how it all started, and the story sort of where I went to and got to. And then it became such a big demand that they invited me back for volume 6 for more of the aftermath, in terms of like coping with things during that time. Like, so, you know, for going for walks, maybe listening to music, exercise, that kind of stuff, just to help the mental health afterwards. So that was like the part 1 and part 2 of it.
Well, you see, I always say it on the show that, you know, being uniquely yourself and being open always leads you on the path to your best self. And bullying is something that is so, so big at the moment, and it actually has always been there in the forefront, but I feel like in this generation it's really, really taking to a next level. Talk a little bit about your experiences with bullying.
So yeah, so I literally was just chatting about this the other day and had a light bulb moment, as they say, that it's now 20 years ago since I was bullied in school, and I had left school within 3 weeks as a result of it. But I was getting used to a new school, you know, a new building. A small few friends from my primary level had come with me, and something that I always make sure I say, because I was a shy kid and I would be a little bit more slower to make friends than others, which wasn't uncommon. But, you know, there was no social media, there was nothing like that at this time. Now, I feel like I'm a dinosaur as I'm saying that, but, you know, it's not that long ago when you think about it. But anyway, so in the school, just going through the gates and getting used to everything was fun, exciting and nerve-wracking all at the same time for a shy kid. So getting used to things, but within the first week, Katie, I was subject to name-calling straight off the bat. I was called everything and anything, buck teeth, you know, different words for gay that you could possibly throw at somebody. And I just thought, well, if they eventually get it out of their system and move on to someone else, I'll be happy. So I just ignore them was my first trail of thought. Just, you know, call me what you want. It's not going to affect me. And it did for the first few days. But I sort of became used to being called these names. But then in the background, I was starting to believe them a little bit. I was more conscious of my looks and just conscious of everything around me more so. You know, the way I would walk, the way I would talk, the way I'd express myself. But as all this was happening, a few days had passed even more so. And then the physical bullying started. And then that physical bullying became worse and worse as time went on. But the first day was just like being pushed and shoved against lockers was the first little bit of experience. And then I was always getting basically slurs thrown at me, and then I'd get taunting, and then I'd be literally tried to be extorted, you know, like, oh, money to pass through here, or, you know, can you give us some money that I'm short 50 cent, you have money, you know, to get whatever it was in the canteen or a drink. And I would just say no, and I would say nothing at some times because I'd get so nervous and so worked up, or I couldn't speak when this was all happening. So when it came to ignoring that, there was two groups. So there was the first group was basically all the verbal stuff. So I kind of know how to like maybe avoid them or try not meet them on the same corridor if I could. I was plotting all this. And then there was days then where I'd have no choice to be faced with the physical side of the bullies. And these bullies then were these were the worst ones I find, because they wanted fame. They wanted to be popular. And this is where it led to, by making my life hell, was their a way of becoming popular, which was totally, totally wrong. But I was just trying to do my day to day in the moment and get through every day, a little, every hour and every minute, little by little. And I just thought, right, get through this day, and they might get bored. That was my trail of thought every day. But there was one particular moment where I was on the school to my mother, and when I was in the school lunch talking to my mother, and I had to get a few bits for school, like books, etc. I said, look, I need to get this. And as I was on the phone going through that, my phone was taken out of my hand, and it was took from my hand, flung across from the area where I was, and I was pushed up against the wall. And before I knew it, a hand was around my neck choking me. I could barely breathe. I could just feel my oxygen getting lower. I was looking around, I was trying to push them off, but there was two of them there, and they were older than me, and I was of course scared and very, very nervous, and I was starting to get upset, but I just kept trying to push out of the situation. But I was still mindful that my phone was still active, and I wasn't too sure how far it was. I didn't realise, but thankfully the call did disconnect, and I got out of the situation, and I just ran to the quietest part of the school grounds that I could find in that moment. And I just thought to myself, now you need to come up with an excuse to tell home, because I didn't want them to know at home, my parents being them. And I just thought, well, okay, get my stuff together, calm down a little bit, breathe, phoned home, and I literally came up with the excuse saying I just dropped my phone and the battery had come out of the phone, and then I had to fix it and ring them back. And in my mind that was like, whew, done, dusted, you know, crisis averted. And here I am making that decision, you know, to like cover up someone else's, you know, basically assault. You know what I mean?
This is the crazy thing to me, Chris, is that a lot of people do what you just said you've done, and that's fair to ignore, but not tell anybody. And, you know, I would always advise my kids as a mother to tell, you know, a teacher, an adult. Can I ask the question, Chris, what made you not tell?
Because I didn't want things to get worse, because there's this thing when you're a lad or and a girl, I suppose, no matter what it is, you have that thing where you don't want to be the rat and you don't want to be called out. And if you tell on the bullies are going to be set out to make your life hell. And that's the way any teenager or any child is going to think, I think, because I just know from personal experience, as I've just said, I wanted to cover up and make excuses for them. And in that moment, I didn't realise that it wasn't my fault. You know, it's their fault for picking on me. It's them that wants to make my life hell. I am genuinely the victim here. And it's like nothing to do with what I've done. It's nothing to do with that at all. So I just thought, well, if I just keep ignoring it, it would probably just, the boredom I thought would set in quicker. But these guys continue to do that.
And it essentially affected you then in your mental health. You started to believe what they were saying. And tell me a little bit about when that changed, you know, you started changing as a person. There was one stage where you didn't want to be here anymore, Chris.
No, well, it was basically after the second incident, and this was the big, one of the biggest second incidents that happened, because I was just making my way to class one day, and just to very quickly pinch the picture, it's a very old style building, hardcore floor and steps, and there's about two sets of maybe 8 to 10 steps as you go up these stairs. And I don't know if it's like an old hospital building that it was or whatever, but there was like a set of double doors on each floor and you'd have to go through them. And every time a school bell went, or if it was lunch, it wasn't uncommon where all the students would be hanging around in the hallways near the doors, this and that, chatting. But I was trying to get through these doors one day, and it was on the top floor, and I remember just getting up the stairs, being a bit out of breath, trying to get through these doors. But these bullies, the physical bullies, as I call them, the physical group, they were there waiting for me, and they were watching me a lot of the time. I didn't realise that at first, but when I kind of look back and kind of look at these moments, that, and this was one of the ones that they were definitely out to get me again, and they just caught me there, opening the door, pushing it back closed. They took the bag off my shoulder. There was a polo shirt that was a part of the uniform at the time, and that was pulled up over my head, and I was pushed down those steps that I had just come up. And I had a gash from my wrist down to my elbow, and it was reefed open, blood pumping. I was looking up at them, looking down at myself in absolute fear, shock. I was immediately upset, crying, roaring and crying, and I just couldn't believe what had just happened. And I just ran to the office, got to the office, and still in my mind trying to come up with an excuse to cover this up. And I did. I covered it up, saying I was clumsy yet again, where I tripped and fell down the stairs. But I got to the office, and I thought, this, in my mind, I thought, this has to stop. But I don't know how to go about it. And I just recoiled from everything. I went home, recovered for a few days. And it was when I got to the school gates the following Monday, after the few days, let's say that it was. Let's say it happened a Wednesday. This was the Monday. I had time to recover. But in that time of trying to recover, I was losing sleep. I was wet in the bed. I was in complete horror. And shortly after all this, I was brought to the GP and, you know, went through the motions of trying to get help. And when I eventually got to the school gates on that Monday morning, that it actually all came out then. Do you know, I had said to my mother, I'm being hassled at school, I'm this and that. I was having a full-blown panic attack at the school gates. Now, at the time, I didn't realise I was having a panic attack, but that's what happened. So I went home, talked it out. We talked to the school. Not much was done, because the principal said, look, the environment is that you're a first-year student, and the consequences of being a first-year student is you're prone to a first-year beating. I was like, what? My mother and father looked in complete disgust. And that's when then I thought, well, okay, not going back to that school again, obviously. And my parents were adamant to try and get me back into school and talk to the doctor in this process. Just to speed forward a little bit in time here, when I was talking to my doctor and my teen psychologist, they said, look, go for walks, do this, and it'll help. But there was one day, Katie, I didn't want to be here at all. And I just thought, I wouldn't be a burden to anyone if I just go now. You know,
because
no exams.
The effects of bullying essentially, you know, can change a person. And not telling anybody and holding that burden, like, there's plenty of parents out there this morning listening in that could have seen changes in your child. And the reason, Chris, I wanted to talk about your story this morning is because I want parents to be reminded that if their child is changing their behaviours or things are changing and you're looking, thinking, what is going on with them? You know, this is a huge thing that's happening, you know, unfortunately, across the Southwest. And I suppose the message I'd be getting out this morning is telling your parents was essentially, in the end, the correct thing to do, if I'm right in saying, Chris.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, you know, confide in someone straight away, because there's nothing really I regret about everything, because again, I was the victim. But the one regret that I have is not actually coming up sooner, because I could have saved myself a lot more trauma. but you don't think in that moment. But like, if you start to be name called, you tell a teacher, you tell someone that you trust in that school, you tell your parents immediately. You tell, if you don't trust your mother or father, trust a brother or an aunt, whoever that you think will help get that bit of justice for you is what's important there. Because once you reach out and say, look, this is happening, help can be got and you will be protected. There's a lot more things that have changed and have become more better in the last few years. Now, I know there's loads of like action plans on bullying, and I wish schools follow this a lot more. They are following it, but a lot more needs to be done in that regard, because bullying is getting worse and worse. The suicide rates are up and up. People are just like, it's like if it's just been slid under a mat, and it maddens me and I get passionate about this. And this is why that we need to act on this. Like, it all boils down to kindness and respect.
And just leaving people be themselves fully and entirely, and let them live their lives and you go on about your lives. You go and now speak in schools and talk about bullying. You have been a part of a Lust for Life stories. Yeah. And you are now an amazing advocate to stop bullying. So like, you have came a long, long way, and I'm hoping that any young person that's listening in today can really see that, you know, speaking up and telling somebody what you're going through is the most important key, because an adult can help you, your parents can help you, your older sibling can help you, an uncle, an aunt, someone can help you. And I know that there's that stigma that tells us that you can't tell someone because the bullying will get worse. And I feel like, as a mom, and you know, experiencing having two children and watching my two children doing what I've told them and telling me or telling a teacher, it does stop it. My message here this morning is to go and tell an adult. You think it's the worst decision to make. It's actually not. It is the best decision you can make. The worst decision you can make is keeping it to yourself.
Yeah.
Because the bullying won't stop. And if you do tell an adult, or you do tell a trusted person, it will stop. It can change. Chris, I can talk to you all day about this, but unfortunately I'm running out of time. And if anyone wanted to get support on bullying, do you know any places that they could head?
Yeah, so the tacklebullying.ie is kind of like the Google of stuff like that to find information on bullying. But there's another website called Bullies Out as well. You can get more information on that site, and it gives you tips and tricks. And look, every year we have a designated week for anti-bullying, anti-bullying awareness week. It always falls in November as well, but bullying needs to be talked about all year round, and mental health needs to be talked about all year round. And with social media, you know, use that for good, don't use it for bad. Because for me, social media wasn't around back then, but I've seen the good it can do, and I've also seen the bad. A lot of stories that I've heard from being in schools about this and that, about trends on TikTok, doing this, doing that. These are things that need to be nibbed in the backside, to be quite honest with you, because this is something now that's going to make bullying another, you know, strain of events, and we need to like combat and that, and kick that before it gets any worse. So just visit those sites and just reach out to people, and you know, get that help. Trust me, it gets better, it won't get worse. There is stuff in place. That even for me back then, there was stuff in place, but it was just
telling someone
was my little flaw. But you know, once you do that, it's onwards and upwards, and you can change school, you can meet new friends no matter where you go. There's always light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how dark that it may seem in the moment. Just remember that there's always that light there to shine out.
I love that. Chris Sherlock, author and anti-bullying campaigner, thank you so much for taking the time to join me in studio and join me on Spin Now this morning.
Thanks, Katie, for having me. All the best.